Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, sorry about it last week that I ducked out at the last minute, but manfully done by my mate here, Righty Boy, who dived in at the last minute, saved the day, didn't get his cape caught in the rotors of the helicopter he flew in on. Well done. Patrice is cloning. Cyloning.
I am what?
Yeah, your audio is a little bit funny, actually. Mac fans are going mental. Well done, Righty Boy. Thank you very much for diving.
Pleasure, mate.
Right. Joining me to discuss the big tech stories, and thank God he did, two of them did at least, because otherwise it would have been me and Righty. Patrice, how you doing, mate?
Doing good overall. I'm tired, but yeah, it's a crazy time right now. But I almost made it to the Mac show. You basically started the second I was ready to join you.
Well, so why didn't you just dial in then?
I thought, I mean, you already started, so I didn't want to interrupt.
Oh, you big muppet. You were sitting there.
I was really late. I mean, you were later than me, but I was really late. So.
You were sitting there shouting at the feed, I'm sure.
Yes.
Going, oh, you're talking out your ass, Rankin.
I was also shouting at Doc.
Really? Was he being a bit too much of a fanboy even for you?
Yes, even for me.
Oh, it was a good show. It was a good show. And of course, you would have heard then Dr. William Green's rendition of Stand By Me on the ukulele.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And we've got a whole new project now. Willie's going to absolutely crush it, aren't you, mate?
Which one is it? Which one of my many projects is it?
The Killing Classic.
Oh yeah! Oh no! Yeah, totally right.
Will Green's album, Crucified Classics, on the ukulele.
Yeah, yeah, Crucified Classics. I think it'll go down the store. I think when it comes to next Christmas, it'll be the number one on iTunes Store. Well, at the moment, so anyway. I've had thoughts. So a request for the British Tech Mac show, or BTN Mac, was Status Quo.
That's right. Now, it was a Status Quo request, yes.
And I thought, now this isn't cheating because I've looked at like the number one uke man in the world, and sometimes he uses backing tracks. So I might use a backing track for a Status Quo song. What do you think? Is that cheating or not?
Yeah, that's cheating. It's got to be on. You've got to be Jimmy. What's his name that you played us today? In the YouTube channel, he was awesome on the Uke. So
that's him. Yeah, that's exactly him. Yeah, he uses backing tracks sometimes.
Well, no, I'm sorry, mate. You can't have it. It's got to be proper Crucified Classics. You can't have any support, otherwise it won't be Crucified, and then it defeats the entire intent of the album.
Oh, all right then. Okay, I'll do it then.
I'll name that tune in 3 minutes, maybe.
I'll work through it. In all honesty, I'm really enjoying learning the uke. It's being a sort of a sudden lonely old bachelor. I pick up my uke in the morning and I make some terrible music, and that sort of thing I do.
Cool.
I haven't started taking it to bed yet, but I can't imagine it'll be long before I start doing that.
Patrice is officially frozen on his other feed, but. Not so, Patrice, you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Right, okay, so you're frozen on the one feed looking like a grumpy bastard, and on the other one it's your cum face.
That is funny.
You're hilarious, you would. Anyway, where did we get up to? Crucifying Classics.
Yeah, you were saying that, if I recall, how amazing I was at the ukulele, and it will be Christmas number one.
I think you will. I think you could be right up there. I think you're going to have to do a Cliff Richard, though. Or I'll tell you what you would do. I'll tell you what you could do, which would be a cracking one and guaranteed to get to number one. Can You Stop the Cavalry?
I'm right. To be fair, that really would be good, wouldn't it?
And last but by no means least, the man who is absolutely ecstatic at the fact that they are now going to get a Norfolk Day.
Yep. Right, Thomas is to put something sexy on. Get ready for Norfolk Day.
Yeah, now there was a suggestion that because it's Norfolk Day, you might be required to sleep with your sister.
Oh, required. Oh,
yeah, yeah, right. It's the traditional thing. So, maybe.
Okay, I'll buy a train ticket and a bottle of wine.
Now you were talking about you could get your sister on the show, no?
I wanted to get it on to debunk the rumours, but no one believed me anyway.
Get her on, mate. Go on.
Plus your other plan of getting the wife on.
Oh, you've let that out of the bag now. That was going to be really fun.
I was never going to do that.
I was going to suggest he got his wife on the show and said it was his sister, and then the pair of them could legitimately start snogging while everyone was vomiting that was watching the live feed. Or calling Norfolk Social Services.
Oh, God, that
would have been
so
hilarious.
Weird.
But no, right, he sported it. He let the cat out of the bag.
Mm. No, my poor daughter's got to live in this world as well.
Well, she doesn't need a picture of a mic. She'd rather you were kissing your sister. She'd rather watch your mum and dad getting it on.
Oh, God, don't do that anymore. No chance.
So is that the way it is in Norfolk, then?
Again, yeah, why not, you know?
Anything goes type of thing.
Yeah, mum was round the other night. Oh, we had a whale of
stop it.
Big open flat land, long days, cold nights. What else are you going to do?
That'd be how we keep warm in Norfolk.
Yeah.
Cash the system.
Now I know why Norfolk is the partner city to Koblenz.
No, actually, we've
now
got
it starts to make sense.
Is there an incest capital of Germany, Patrice?
Yeah. It might actually be Koblenz.
As we've got a way around it. We all wear Bernard Matthews. But we don't know who's doing who.
Oh, stop it now.
Turkey scrumping.
Turkeys are okay. I've never had a turkey.
You've never? Was that in the biblical sense?
Well, I don't know which way you want to interpret it, but I've never had
you must
a
have
turkey.
Eaten a,
sheep are different.
You must
Shropshire sheep, mainly.
You must have eaten a turkey.
Yeah, no, I have eaten
you
a
just
turkey.
Haven't muffed a turkey.
No.
Right, there we go. Glad we got that sorted.
The only thing I'll put in a turkey is a lemon.
Well, yeah. Mate. But turkeys are good gobblers, aren't they?
Is that before you put the sexy fishnets on it?
I put a little gimp mask on my turkey for Christmas.
Oh, God. Give it a foxtail butt plug just to scare the shit out of it when it sees the tail.
Show me your giblets.
Oh, moving on. This is an episode of the Sodding Punch. The big week in tech, all the stories that have gone, all the shiz that's happened. Who's got story of the week? Start us off, race to the Slack room to stick it in, and oh, bloody hell, everyone's slow. No one's put a story in.
Yeah, well, I'm slow.
I took my hands off, so I wasn't first.
You were letting others in for you. Well done, mate. That was very kind of you. Federal judge says embedding a tweet can be copyright infringement.
Yeah, well, I thought this was a bit weird. I was going to bring the story about the Google Chrome ad blocker thing, but then I saw this, I thought it was more interesting. So, a lot of us have done this, you know, I've done it on BTM posts and in other blogs that I've written, and you see it all over the news that you embed a tweet into a story to, you know, as evidence or relevance or anything like that. But this week, a New York federal judge ruling has said that that could be infringing copyright. So the story is, I don't know who the chap was, but NFL, that's football, isn't it, America?
Yeah.
Yeah. Chap called Tom Brady, I don't know who that bloke is either, but the tweet had a picture of him in it. And the photographer who took the picture said, that violates my copyright. So there are things like Yahoo and Vox and a few other news outlets who put it on. And he's gone to the courts to kind of say it ruins his exclusivity. And the thing that I read was this overturns a precedent that was set in 2007 about fair use of things like Google images and that sort of thing in other posts. So it's a really dodgy precedent as well, I think, because do we now go back 10 years and look at what we've posted or embedded in our tweets to see if we've infringed copyright or not? Or are we going to be contacted to be like, you know, take down notices and all that sort of stuff? Yeah.
I mean, is I can.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I can see. Yeah. I mean, I can see the argument here. I know I'm not agreeing with it, but I can see the argument. I mean, it is kind of similar as embedding a YouTube video, for example, in your page. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is using someone else's copyrighted material for your own. I mean, ultimately, probably for your own gain. So I can see it. I mean, I'm still a big fan of fair use, and I think in the cases of tweets, that should be fair use because, I mean, it's usually pretty short. But I can definitely see the argument here.
But the internet's kind of a sharing economy, isn't it? That's how things get around, because they're saying it's not just going to be tweets going forward. It's going to be any inline embedded media.
Yeah.
So, I work in design, and we use a lot of images and stuff like that. And, you know, we know what the fair use policies are, Creative Commons, all that sort of thing. And, you know, if you...
You do realise that fair use doesn't apply in the UK.
Go on. You're going to teach me something now.
Yeah, no. So fair use is an American concept that's in the DMCA. It's not. There's no concept of fair use in the UK. Content is content. Copyright is copyright. There's no fair use.
I understand if you like if you put something in a blog post or on your website and you pass it off as your own content, but if you're embedding someone else's tweet, then surely you're not, you know, admitting it's not yours.
As I said, you could make the same argument. I mean, let's say, I mean, Eunice is taking a lot of pictures professionally, and let's say he would put them on his website, which I know he doesn't and would never do, but let's say he did. If someone now took that and embedded it in his site, even with proper attribution, it would still be an infringement of Yoon's copyright, and I would agree to that. And I would say you're still using someone else's work in this case, professional work even.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can argue whether tweets are that level of quality and that level of professionalism. That's a different story, but
it's different in the fact that it's.
Go ahead.
Sorry, it's different if I went to Ewan's website, grabbed his image, uploaded to my WordPress site, stuck it in my post and went, here's a great picture. But Twitter actually gives you a facility to embed tweets as part of the service that they offer. You know, Ewan's not going, you know, here's a link that you can post in your website to have my images on there. It is a facility that Twitter offers. So people are just doing it all the time. And I've done it in BTM posts and all that sort of thing. Before I did this story, I did a quick go back through all the things that we've done before. And luckily, as far as I'm concerned, it's more commentary than content. So we're pretty, you know, I want to cover BTN as a network and we're pretty safe, but I can't remember everything that I've posted over the last 10 years. Does this precedent mean that I am going to have to go back and look at that?
I don't think so. I mean, let's be realistic about this. I mean, Ewan and I started doing podcasts in, 10 or 12 or 13 years ago. Mm-hmm. It would be just unmanageable for both us all to go back over that content. And also, I think it would be impossible for policing that type of content. I mean, when we all started, I could sort of understand it, but now, 10 or 15 years later, with the exponential growth of the web, I just think it's impossible. And I think for a lot of, although I you know, you could say, well, that's illegal, that's infringement of copyright, etc. To actually police that, when you look at the amount of YouTube videos, and there are so many that are blatantly, they just, you know, whack on a movie or whack on a TV show or tweets have got logos or copyrighted material. How can they possibly go out to everybody? They can't. So I think it's a lot of fuss about nothing.
Well, let's ask a basic question here, because I think there's a really interesting thought process to go through. So stick with me on this while we go through it. Let me ask all three of you, who do you want to own the tweets you post? Who do you want to own the tweets you post?
Can I start with that one?
Go on, answer the question.
For me, nobody. I tweet, and so they're publicly available, and I suppose the public.
The public can't own them because they didn't publish them. They can't hold copyright on something that they didn't.
Well, okay. Well, I don't know. I don't care who owns them then, if that's
so,
the case.
Someone has to own a tweet.
Why? Why do you have to own it?
Because it's published. It's the same. It falls under the same requirements of libel law and or copyright law already anyway. So it has to be owned by someone. It can't not be owned. So who owns?
Why? They're not little things of that have got their own consciousness. They're a tweet. They're a bit of text and possibly an image. Why does somebody have to own these little things? Just let them run free. Let them out into the countryside. Someone has to own them.
Yeah. Well, Twitter probably owns them, don't they? You probably signed that away in the terms and conditions.
Otherwise, this lawsuit would never have happened. Then Twitter could just do whatever they wanted and they could just say, use it. I don't think that's the case here.
So here you go. There's lots of people postulating stuff in here, but I'm asking the same question to the chat room. Who do you want to own the tweets you post? Forget about the legal arguments. Forget about legal arguments. Tell me who you want to own them.
Yeah, I mean, I would be kind of in the same camp as Greeny. I would say it's either public domain, and I always own them because I created them, so I own them. But I can make a decision and say those are public domain.
Right. Finally, Saranac has plumped up and said he wants to own his mind. There's people in here talking about public domain for tweets. It's bollocks. It can't happen. It's got to be someone's. So I'm giving you a choice. Who do you want to own the tweets that you post? Someone's got to own them. A person, someone, an entity has to own them. The public is not an entity.
Well, imagine you give it that ownership to your milkman or something like that, and then he dies. What happens then? Because if you've given him an ownership and he's dead.
So you want your milkman to own your tweets?
I suppose that's as good a choice as anything.
I bequeath my tweets to you, dude.
Kieran, as with any public domain work, you as an owner can make a decision to make it available to the public for free.
Doesn't
that
mean...
is something that you can do.
No, but that's a license. Yes. It's a different thing entirely.
It is a license. It's a license for the public to use it without any restrictions.
Right, but it doesn't change the ownership. License to use.
Owner is still you.
Yes, thank you. So you've got to pick someone to own it. Yep. And the logical choices are either you've got to own it or Twitter have got to own it.
Yeah.
Okay? They've got to have rights to publish it. You have to bestow rights upon them to publish it, otherwise they can't publish it. Are we all agree?
Or your milkman. Remember that one? Yeah. That's the third option.
Okay. So someone is posting stuff saying that in the terms of service in Twitter, it says all content is the sole responsibility of the person who originated such content. Now, that's saying... if you post it, you're going to have to take the rap for whatever shit you post. It doesn't say you own it. No, it doesn't. It says you're going to have to take the rap for it. So if you say something inflammatory or racist or sexist, then you're going to have to stand by what you said. But this is the interesting part now, because what if I asked you a question that said the FBI wants to look through your archived tweets that no longer appear on your timeline, who do they get a warrant for?
Twitter.
But if Twitter don't own my tweets, they don't have the right to post them.
But they still store them, and that's the thing. I mean, they still store them even for you.
They don't have a right to release content. Is the privilege then? No, there wouldn't be privilege.
I'm pretty sure that's in the terms of service, that if they get a subpoena, they are legally required to release that.
Right. So if you go back to 2012, there was a legal battle where a judge asked Twitter, a subpoena was issued for Twitter to hand over the tweets of a chap, I've just lost his name now, who was involved in public disorder. And they said they couldn't, and they contacted the bloke, and the bloke then created a preemptive strike to try and stop them subpoenaing him for them. But the judge, Matt Sicario, said, by the decision, Twitter has an open method of communication, noting in its previous policy, it informs users that you say on Twitter may be viewed all around the world instantly. He argued the user is granting license for Twitter to distribute that information to anyone for any reason that it chooses, and they were liable for the subpoena to hand it over. So, but they were saying that they have no part in it. They have no instance in it at all, and they can't. They have to have a license. So, do you own your tweets? Yes, you do. Whether you like to license them out for the world to use, fair play to you, then that's fine. But you are liable for your tweets, and you do have copyright on them. If you post an image in a tweet, is there a bit in the terms of service that says that you give the right to Twitter to reproduce and sell that image no matter what? I bet you there is, because that's what everyone writes in their social media stuff.
Oh, they do. And loads of cloud sharing sites have done that as well.
So if Tom Brady has pushed that out, then he's given license to Twitter to reproduce that and sell it, but not the person who's put it in the post. So has he got a right to copyright control over it? I would say he has.
He has. Yes. I mean, Twitter might decide to use it if he granted the license to them. They might do that, but ultimately he still owns everything, and he has the right to decide who can and who can't use it.
Hang on, because now there's a separation in UK law of reportage. So because he is a public figure and he's posted it out into the wider world and many people could have seen it, you are allowed to report on what he posted. And that would mean complete replication of what he actually posted, because he's a notable figure. There could be reportage on it. If you posted it on your blog to say that you knew Tom Brady, then I'm not so sure anymore. But if you reproduce his tweet for the purposes of telling everyone this is what Tom Brady said, I can't see he's got a copyright claim. That's reportage. Yeah.
It's basically if the interest of the public outweigh the interests of the individual in this case, because he is a public figure.
Mm. I've never heard of him. Who is this Tom?
Well, he's quarterback for the New England Patriots who got lost last week. Yeah. And they've probably done the wrong thing, because they posted it out after he's just lost a really tight game because he screwed up. So he probably wasn't in the best mood.
Is that American football or baseball or something?
Yep.
Football. American football, yeah. Deep Pan is quoting the terms of service for us. Thanks very much, mate. Tom says I can own his tweets if I want. Cheers, buddy. By submitting, posting, or displaying content on or through the service, you grant us a worldwide, non-exclusive, royalty-free license with the right to sub-license to use, copy, reproduce, process, adapt, modify, publish, transmit, display, distribute such content in any and all media or distribution methods we know later or developed, known now or later developed. You retain your rights to any content you submit, post, or display on or through the service. What is yours is yours. You own your content, and your photos and videos are part of the content. So what they're saying there is that you still own it, but you're granting them a license to do what the hell they like with it.
Yeah.
And you can't stop them.
Yeah. Basically, they have a copy now, and they can do with the copy whatever they want. And you have your copy, you can do whatever you want.
So what happens if I click retweet? Because retweet is a function of Twitter that is enabled by Twitter and granted by Twitter. So when I click it, that is the Twitter application reproducing it.
Yeah.
So but, I can't say, you can't say that there's a copyright issue with retweeting. That's covered by the terms because of that service.
And actually in that case, I mean, there's no issue with it, because it is Twitter is providing that functionality, and implicitly Twitter is saying it's okay to do that.
Yeah.
With the copy Twitter has and can use.
Yeah.
But I think that extension, if Twitter provides something to embed a tweet in the page, then they are also saying the copy that we have, you can embed into your web page, and we're okay with that. And in that case, this lawsuit is bollocks.
Well, see, I've got, if Tom Brady's put a picture in and someone's taken the picture out of the tweet and utilized it in something they wanted to show, like their own web page or a magazine, that's not reportage, that's different. If they report it in its entirety, then I'm sorry, Tom, get over yourself, because it's reportage and you can't do anything about it. But I think he's got a definite justifiable claim if they've separated the information and the picture. Because I would suggest that the text qualifies the picture and the picture qualifies the text. So it can't be separated that way.
Yeah. Sorry, Roger, go ahead. It's basically they're whoever is doing that, whoever is writing that article, whoever is doing the separation is doing editing. And in that case, you need the right to edit and you don't have that. Because I don't think Twitter is giving you the right to edit the content that someone else posted on Twitter.
Tom's just made a point here. Twitter's terms of service won't hold up in a court. They're not meant to hold up in a court. They're meant to be a relationship with you and a contract with you. So, or a licensing agreement with you. They're not meant to hold up in court by the subpoena thing that we just talked about. They're not designed to do that. So, no. Go on, Wrighty, you were saying something.
No, don't know if it adds any credence to the conversation we're having. The takedown was from the photographer for the picture, not Tom Brady. I don't know if that doesn't really change anything because he owns that picture, doesn't he?
Photographer does.
That's probably make a difference, actually.
Yeah.
And DPEN has put the final terms of service quote that actually says that. I mean, you can reproduce, modify, create everything through the means provided by Twitter. Except if you have a special permission from Twitter.
So Tom Brady has posted a picture taken by a third party he didn't have license for.
Which he may or may not own.
Well, he doesn't own it. If he's in the picture, he doesn't own it because he didn't click the shutter. So he can control it in terms of the fact if someone uses that for advertising without model release, then he's got a problem. He's got real...
It's the monkey selfie all over again, isn't it?
Yeah, the monkey selfie is not the monkey selfie is not a very good example. That's typical. That's just America being dumb, and running riot over something that's perfectly logical just because Jimmy Whale was a bit of a cock, and probably is a huge cock. But thanks for Wikipedia. But he treated the photographer badly. They took the piss out of the photographer. They behaved incredibly, but they behaved like chimpanzees, actually, from the way I understand the story. And the decision in the court was just... But the guys there broke.
So, well done. Apparently so, yeah.
Well done.
Oh, that's
super. Is the feed died for everyone else? According to Serenac, the feed's died? No, it's still working.
No, I still see everything.
No, still working. There we go. Good story, mate. I don't know if we've got an answer. We've talked around it for a few minutes, but...
I like stuff that makes us talk.
Yes.
I've got to say, there's a bit of me thinks that if you give up your information to Twitter and it gets reproduced and printed, there's a bit of tough shit in that. If you throw out a tweet that's got content in it that you didn't own and didn't have a license to reproduce, that's got a problem. And that makes the tweet illegal, therefore, if you like, and therefore... that you could get someone allowed to take it down. But suing, I'm not just push a takedown note.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough. Patrice, is that your story?
Yes. Sorry about the link. It somehow pasted it in weirdly. So my story is about the Apple Watch, and I know it's a Apple show, but I want to, it's not a Mac show, but I want to talk about emergencies in general. So it's a story about the Apple Watch SOS function saving someone's, the mom and the baby after a car accident. Because I think that's a really interesting story and something where technology actually might help save lives and improve our lives. Because in such situations, having a wearable, whatever it is, doesn't have to be Apple Watch, actually is a good thing because it allows you to reach out for help in situations where your phone might be somewhere.
So she slid the SOS feature on her Apple Watch across.
Yeah, and drunk driver hit her car and her phone was somewhere, but she could use the SOS function and get help.
So everything went airborne, including the car. She lost the phone. So the only thing she had that she could call for help on was a watch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's incredibly powerful. And I mean, we don't know what would have happened in some other case. Hopefully there was someone there who could help her and call 911, but you never know.
That story is about 6 months old, isn't it?
No, it's pretty fresh as far as I know, but it happens all the time. So
February 16th, it was posted at 11:10 Pacific time.
Yeah.
So it's a year old then?
No, 2016th.
Oh, right, sorry.
Today, well.
I'm on the ball. But yeah, no, I think I covered that story. Ooh, must be 6 months, a year ago, something like that. But as you say, it might be something new. I'm forever sort of getting into car accidents and then using my watch. Except I haven't got a car and I haven't got a watch. But other than that...
Yeah, I mean, there are other situations. I think, especially if you're older, I mean, you might be at home alone and you slip and fall. And I mean, what do you do then? Stuff like that. Or you're hiking somewhere in the middle of a forest and yeah, you break your leg or whatever and you need help. What do you do? Situations like that. Doesn't have to be a car accident. I'm just speaking for myself, but I mean, that is something that I actually fear when I'm out alone somewhere, that something might happen to me and nobody might be around. And I think that's where the Apple Watch is actually, or any, as I said, any kind of wearable is incredibly helpful. If it works.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I don't know.
I wouldn't go walking. If you're that scared about breaking a leg in the middle of the countryside, I would forget about it and not do that and go to a coffee shop or something like that.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
Maybe they should put, you know, one of those little red triangle things on a piece of red string. You could attach that to your watch. And you pull the string and then it sort of then it calls the ambulance or something.
That's a great idea.
It's got a flare in it.
You should work. Yeah! You should start working on that.
Greeny. Forget about kill classics, strangle classics, whatever it is.
You made the name up. You should know.
Crucified classics. Mate. That's your USP right there.
What? If you've broken your leg in the middle of the forest, you put a copy of my album on and that will get people coming to you.
If you break your leg in your forest on your own, does it make a snap?
Oh, don't say that.
Tom says... Was it a cellular or was it a phone connection? I think it was a phone connection because she says everything went vertical. So it flew around in the car. So I'm guessing that she couldn't, after the accident, she couldn't find her phone. So whether it was did it directly or otherwise, it doesn't matter, I suppose. But
yeah. But I mean, with the new cellular watches, that's even easier. The watch can still break in an accident and then, I mean, you're out of luck, but it's one less thing that can fly around, I would say.
I've actually gone back to... is my tag Hoya? There we go. My tag Hoya. I've had this for a lot of years, and I stopped wearing it when I got the Apple Watch, and the battery ran out, and I went and got a battery put in it today, and because I didn't wear my Apple Watch for the last week much, and I didn't miss it. And actually, I've really liked having a watch today that just tells the time and the date. That's it. It tells the wrong date at the moment because I haven't set it yet. But come to think of it, it's telling the wrong time as well. I hadn't noticed.
That would never happen if you have a watch. See?
No, excuse me coughing, everyone that's listening. I do apologise. I'll try and keep it down.
There's an old film that this chap wears a watch. And somebody says, why do you wear that watch? Because it doesn't go. And he says, yes, it does. It goes everywhere with me. And there is a lot of owning a watch that sort of resonates around that little small little joke, I think.
Yes, that is definitely true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom F. in the chat is saying it's much like the device that his dad wears in his at his assisted living place. Yes, that's absolutely true. I mean, the devices like that basically trigger an alarm have existed for quite a while.
Yeah,
most people don't use it.
I've got to say, this is a bit of a shout out actually to everyone. If you if you are listening or watching, my mum and dad are 86 now and prone to a bit of foot failure. And periodically I'll get a phone call saying that one of them's fallen over. And that so far, touch wood, it's always been you know, a fairly graceful slump to earth, if you like. They just can't get back up off their hands and knees again. My dad fell against a cupboard a couple of weeks ago, and he looked like he'd gone three rounds with Tyson afterwards for a week. But he didn't really hit his face that hard. He just bruised really easily. And I was saying about having a monitor, and my mum's dead against it. She doesn't want a monitor. I think there's a certain psychology of if I have a monitor, I'm admitting I'm old. And I keep saying, you know, walk around with your stick in your hand. Come on, just carry your stick around. She said, we're in the house. Why do we need it in the house? And again, that's another admission that they're old potentially. But I said to her, it'd be good if we could find a system that when you press the button, it just rang my cell phone for me. And it played a message, mom and dad alarm, mom and dad alarm, mom and dad alarm. And
yeah, exactly.
That's it. Because those button things, she's got a couple of friends at her local church that she goes to, and they've had those alarm call buttons. And when they've pressed them, someone's come through on the microphone and gone, hello, yes. Well, have you got anyone you can call? Well, if I had a frigging cauldron, wouldn't I?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. That is stupid.
And then they dispatch the emergency services, who stand outside the front because they can't get in because they've fallen over. And then they have to wait for the police to come with the battering ram and take it all down. And actually, to be honest, or if I just had something that said, a parents' alarm, parents' alarm, parents' alarm, even if I was away, I could pick up the phone and I could ring Sharon or I could ring Ellis, and I could say, whatever you're doing, need to go to Amar and Umpires and sort it out. And no one does something that simple. And I would have thought that was the logical thing. It all goes to this central control system where there's our operators are waiting for your call kind of thing, which just isn't necessary.
No, I mean, and it shouldn't be hard. I mean, it's simply, it calls you, and if it can't reach you or you're not responding within a certain amount of time, then they can maybe call someone else. That is fine. I mean, it's just, I don't get it. It's not hard. I mean, I could probably rig something up within a couple of days.
Oh, okay. But you get. I mean, I've got a Loxon alarm system here that GB Redneck put in for me. And that when I set that with my phone, if the alarm goes off, then I get a phone call that says alarm triggered. And that was what got me thinking that's all I need on the other end of it. Yep. So there is a service out there that can do it. And you can change the text that it says as well. Because when he did it first time, it came on and just got this German woman going, alarm, 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 and then goes off. Just like three, alarm, 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 and goes off.
That's funny.
So I could have made a crazy frog thing out of it if I'd have thought about it, actually.
Yeah.
Tom's saying definitely difficult psychologically for my dad to come with grips to getting old and having to wear a safety device. Yeah. Did you go 999? Muller's on cough medicine. He's ill. So okay. we're not gonna put anything in. We're not gonna do anything that he links.
No. My nan's got you'd call an old people's phone. And if she's got any problems, it does. She can hit a button on it, and it rings through like three numbers. It'll phone my mum, it'll phone me, and it'll phone my wife. And if it can't get hold of any of us, it phones emergency services. And that's a practical thing. But like Patrice is saying, if it's not with you or you've fallen, a wearable is a very good thing that could do that. So, you know, it cycles through the people who could be there the fastest. And probably the way things are at the moment, a family member get there faster than an ambulance could. And it might just be they've fallen, you can go and pick them up and everything will be fine. But I think it's not a thing of admitting you're old or anything, because I'm wearing my Apple Watch.
Said the young bloke.
Said the young bloke. I wish. But no, I think what Patrice is saying is quite logical, that it's always with you.
Yep. By the way, I just double checked how the SOS functionality in iOS works, and it actually you can put emergency contacts there, and once it has called the emergency services, it can actually automatically also send a message to your emergency contacts with location and everything.
Excellent.
So that's actually quite good.
There's an episode of Columbo. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's a magician who's doing this trick with a guillotine.
I know which one you mean.
Do you remember it? Yes. And he has both of his hands cut off. So the Apple Watch would definitely be a bonus to him, because obviously when your hands are cut off, you can't type the number in, can you? But you could talk to your Apple Watch, and then it could call emergency services or something like that, and get your hands put back on again or something. I don't know. But I can't remember the exact plot, but I remember that's pretty much the theme of it. So there we are.
Yeah. I still say flair.
Wise words from Columbo, I think. Or a lesson to be learnt. If you're a magician, then stay clear of a guillotine.
Maybe you can clear this up for me, because I'm not thinking right.
I love Columbo. Don't you love Columbo?
Columbo's great. Yeah, absolutely. What are you laughing at, Righty?
I just remember that. Of all the episodes of Columbo, I just remember that one.
Yeah. I thought you were laughing because Albert Twitter has dug through Christ knows what archive and has posted a picture of me dressed as a penis at a fancy dress party.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that one.
What the hell?
And he said, presumably, I'm violating Ewan Rankin's copyright by posting this. But that is me. That is me dressed as a penis at a fancy dress party.
Oh, that's funny.
And you can see me big blue vein.
Oh man.
I don't know how he's got that, but well done, Albert. That was put up by Nigel Clark, who was my best man at my wedding, came and did a big show here one night. And
How old is that?
His wife, Carol, sent that picture through so we could show it on the show.
I missed doing a BTN takedown.
BTN takedown notice. No, it'd be like retweet notice. Tom's absolutely shocked because he didn't expect a Columbo reference today. It's not a proper day if you don't make it at least one Columbo reference a day. And of course, Muller has made the cardinal sin of written comedy by when he said 999, we all went Muller 99, and he did it in numerals 999, which is of course because he's an ex-copper. It's like, okay, well, I don't get that. He's just trying to project 9. And then, of course, he's written it out in German. Yeah. It was a German service. 999 in words. And it's hilarious now.
Yes. That's what I would shout at my Apple Watch.
Except, does
999... Siri, 9!
Does 999 get you to the police in Germany or not?
No, it's 110.
Of course. Like we all know. Why didn't I think of that? Jesus. She's all right, and her little baby's all right, and they're all good, and Apple saved their lives. End of story.
We got more out of that story than I thought.
Well, that's because we didn't cover the story particularly well. We went on to other shit that's irrelevant.
Just one more thing.
Just one more thing.
That's how they should end the Apple keynotes. They get Columbo on. Just one more thing.
Mission accomplished.
Greedy boy, have you got a story for us, mate, you can stick in the chat?
I do, yes. I'm prepared one. And I think this has got sort of quite deep-rooted concerns, not for today so much, but for the future. So it's Amazon Echo Dot ad cleared over cat food order. So there was this ad put out for the Amazon Echo Dot thing. And on the advert, Amazon's voice assistant Alexa to order Purina, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, cat food. A viewer said the ad caused their Echo Dot device to respond after hearing the ad on television and basically order the food. So they then took this to the advertising standards authority, and they've said, no, that's not right. And Amazon have come back and said, in order to buy something, you have to sort of say yes. A human has to say yes to sort of complete the transaction. Now, I haven't got one, so I've got no authority to judge on this story in particular. But I suppose if you look to the future, is there, whether it's on a film on a, you know, on your Mac or your PC that you've bought, or on an advert or on a radio station, that has some sort of way of talking to your sort of home technology, that could sort of be a vulnerability when it comes to ordering items via your sort of home pod or home device. I don't know. I just thought I'd put it out there, and maybe this is a way of things to come. Who knows?
Well, it is actually a thing that Amazon thought about, because they had a big Alexa's lost their voice thing for the Super Bowl. And obviously hundreds of millions of people watch it. But I heard a story that to stop, obviously, their data centers getting completely swamped, that when the A word came up, they sent out a different frequency so it wouldn't set the Alexa off. So in a way, they're kind of, because my dot used to be near my TV, and every time A word thing came on, it would go off. And they're actually going out their way now to stop that happening. So it might be an admission of that. I don't know how old this story is, but if it's in the last few weeks, then because if you listen to podcasts and stuff, you know, it sets it off, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, Muller's put the boring answer in, which we'll come back to at the end, because otherwise it'll just kill the conversation dead and we'll be moving on. But I had a photographer and a model come and use the studio a couple of weeks ago. And I said, I'll say Gertrude instead of Just Jeff, turn on the white room, which turns on all the electrics in the white room. All the lights pop on, the heater pops on, and that's it. It's off and running, which is quite impressive. And they, God, how'd you do that? I said, I've got this thing here, and it does that. And said, what else can you do with it? And Muller was sat here, and I told a story about ordering 50 bog rolls on Muller's Alexa when he was listening back to the podcast. And they went, oh, right, so we could order. I said, yeah. And so I said, Gertrude, order 50 bog rolls. And she said, I've got the following. Would you like to buy them? No, I wouldn't. Thanks very much. And they went, so we can just order anything on that. And I'm like, yeah, I can. So you can just order anything on that. I went, yeah, definitely. He said, and the two of them just went, Alexa, I need a dozen condoms. And it was just like, here are some condoms for you. Would you like to order these right now?
What were they shooting in there?
Alexa, cancel. Thank you. And the two of them, I was like, you bastards, don't do that. It's going to come up with your wife's Alexa right now.
I remember the I think it was the Bash Mac show where you wanted to make a joke and or have everybody else's Alexa order I don't know what, something.
Bog rolls, yeah.
And you forgot that your Alexa was in the studio as well.
Yeah, and it was going to order it too. So no, so it was, but these guys were just prattling around. And now, because I've got an Amazon Echo in the white room, and it's beautiful because the white room's a bowl, so it really catches the sound and amplifies it going out to the studio. And there's a bit of me sitting thinking, I'm going to have to do something because I can't have them ordering that. And of course, the solution is, as Muller rightly points out, you can set up a 4-digit code that you need to put in. Otherwise, it won't order it.
That's a good plan. Before I forget, it's slightly off topic. You were saying about the bowl and it amplifies the sound within the white room.
Yeah.
Did you know they use that sort of stuff or technology, as it were, in the war, that all along the South Coast, they had these massive concrete bowls that so when the Germans were flying in this direction, they could hear the sound of the German bombers before, you know, long before that you could sort of naturally hear it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, yeah, I don't know whether any still exist, but they're massive, massive, almost like sort of concrete satellite dishes that sort of amplified the sound, and so that the army or whatever could hear the German airplanes across the channel.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Mm. Yeah, it was on the Time Team.
And do any of these things still exist?
Well, I don't know. I'd imagine one or two of them must do, surely. Yeah, they must do, because it was on Time Team and I saw one.
Of course.
And they wouldn't knock them down now, would they?
No, they'd be historical, wouldn't they?
Yeah. So, there it is. I told you it was slightly off. Nothing to do with it. But it's just what you were saying about it. It's amazing. The curvature of a physical object can affect both sound and reflection of that sound.
Trig says, don't mention the war. And Sarah says, listening posts.
A bit late now, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, well. While we've been doing that story, I've been hunting in vain for a story because I didn't create one because there was going to be five people on tonight, so I haven't got one. Sorry, boys, I'm a bit of a lightweight.
That's all right.
excuse my cough. God, my chest's killing me at the moment. Every time I cough and then I wake up in the morning and it's just like everything needs to move and Sharon's cussing me because I'm waking her up constantly. Oh. This podcast and all this is brought to you by UK2. They're awesome. We love them to bits. We just had our server renewed with them. We've got our domains being renewed at the moment by them. And it looks like they're going to continue supporting us for a good while to come. So thank you so much to UK2 for supporting us and keeping us going. If you need to keep us going and keep our servers running, because we can't afford them if we don't, then please support UK2. If you want anything for the web, domain names, co-location services, VPS, VPN, all that kind of stuff, then get in touch with them. BritishTechNetwork.com/UK2 if you just want to sign into your account. And then sponsors if you want to get the offer codes that will help clear your basket. And I want to do a big shout out as well to Carl Swagger, who keeps plugging away with the Daily Show. It's broken into the top 200 tech shows in iTunes. Well done, mate. He does it religiously every day. And we pay him to do that. It costs us a couple hundred bucks a month to keep it going. He doesn't charge us enough by any stretch. We wouldn't be able to do that without the Patreon subscribers and the subscribers through BritishTechNetwork.com/subscriptions. So please, if you can just spare us $5 a month to be a bronze subscriber or even $20 a month to be a gold subscriber, then we would be really grateful because it pays for Carl to do that show and helps keep us going. And also it pays for infrastructure things like, you know, if we need, we bought the wireless mics for the studio and for the bash and that kind of stuff out of it, the PA system that we use at the bash, and that's all come from donations and the Skype wall donations. So thank you to those people who do bother to subscribe. Patrick, much appreciated. Right. Oh, the other thing is the Spider 5 competition. I've had a couple of emails from people saying what's happening with it. I haven't forgotten. I'm just trying to get hold of the devices, and they haven't come yet. As soon as I get the devices, I'll get them dispatched, and they'll go out to the winners. So I haven't forgotten. It's still taking place, I promise you. Right. Have we got any cool things? Start us off.
Oops, I completely forgot to bring something, so
well, okay,
I will have something
down. We'll come back to you. What have you got for a screeny?
This is a really lame one, but I hope we'll go with it. I'm doing, you know I do podcasts and stuff like that. And I like to keep in touch or... So when I put like the news part of the show together, I like to, as I'm going through the week, make sort of clippets of the news stories that I find interesting. So I set up folders with the various name of the British Mac show. So, you know, British Mac 163, British Mac 164, etc. And chuck the, and they're sort of, I can edit them and use them offline as well. And I know you're going to say this is really old school and it's everybody knows about it, but Evernote, I use it all the time. And it's a great way of categorizing your notes, of searching with them. So you work for a local church and you want to put things into your parish magazine or something like that, and you spot something that's of interest to your particular church, then you can use Evernote to sort of store those things. And then as the years go by, it's a great repository for searching. The search engine is very powerful. And obviously that information is then sent across, well, not obviously, but it is synchronized with all of your devices, be they Mac, PC, iPhone or mobile device. I don't know. I sort of fell out in love with it for a little bit.
Oh, I know exactly what you mean, because I used to be a devotee and then I stopped using it, but I've not gone back. That's the difference. Yes,
It's massively improved. I'm exactly the same as you. I absolutely loved it, and then it went a bit rubbish, but it's now back on top of its game. And it's quite interesting, because if you've held an account for a long time, probably held an account for, I don't know, it was when I was living next door, I suppose. That's got to be 10, 15 years ago. All of my extra stuff's on there, and it was a bit of a trip down memory lane, and it's rather nice that Evernote, their servers, and for the main part, if you don't store a ton of stuff, it's absolutely free. But if you want to expand it, and eventually I'm going to have to pay them, because I'm using it continually at the moment, and it's got, so it syncs with your Chrome or Safari or Internet, well, I assume it syncs with Internet Explorer. Do they still make that?
What do they make? What?
Internet Explorer.
It's Edge now.
No, it's Edge now.
Yeah, Edge.
Ah.
Same thing.
Well, I'm sure it must, well, I don't know, I haven't used a Windows computer in years. I'm sure it must synchronize with that as well. So that's my pick.
Excellent, mate. Have you got that message in the chat room, Patrice? Cheers.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. Righty boy, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, as you know, there's two loves in my life, and it's Star Wars and Doctor Who. And this is a lovely present that my wife got me. I'll just put it in the chat room now. There we go. So this takes me back to my childhood. So you remember the Mr. Men?
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Men books. Well, they've now got a load of Doctor Who Mr. Men books.
Do what?
That's brilliant.
So I've got my three favourite doctors my wife got myself. Tom Baker, who I've got my signed autograph just over there for. I've got the Matt Smith one. I've got the Peter Capaldi one here. And they are just absolutely gorgeous. They're just like so, well, it's just like, you know, the books I used to read. And the stories, they're a little bit tongue-in-cheek, you know. They're obviously for a more of a grown-up market than a kid's market. But they're just really well done. They take away all the thing from the old Mr. Men books. But, you know, it's just Doctor Who. And I found out yesterday, we've got this great store in Norwich. Called the TV and Movie Store, and all of these Mr. Men characters you can buy as figures now as well. So when I've collected all these books, we'll be buying all the figures as well. But you know, my wife just knows me so well that, you know, I've got me sonic screwdrivers, I've got Mr. Men books, all I need is a real size real life size artist now, and I'm all set.
Excellent, mate. And the stories hold up, or are they all just piss takes?
Yeah, no, they're really, really good. And they've still got the to and from bit from when you were little. It always had like you from mummy and daddy, oh, you lovely boy. And it's just
awesome.
They're the same size, the same font, same illustrations, just keeping something really going with some modern content, and just absolutely
brilliant, mate. Good pick. Price, did you say?
She wouldn't tell me. £5 each. Oh, God,
each book.
Jesus, she does love me.
Christ, she does love you, yeah.
£5 each.
Mate.
Bloody hell. Okay. I bet I can give her a kiss in a minute.
You might be surprised. Here's you going on about having a shagless life, and he gives you £5 per book for a Mr. Man book.
Oh, God, yeah. Okay. Has he bought him a sonic screwdriver?
She's not watching.
He buys him a sonic screwdriver as well. She knows they'll drive her mad. So she must love
you. Trouble. Patrice, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, I'm going to pick something that is unfortunately only available in the US, though I think there might be a way to get it also in other countries, and I really hope that YouTube brings it. It's YouTube TV. It's a new kind of a TV streaming service provided by YouTube. It's only available, as I said, in the US, in even select cities, so not even everywhere. But I'm really excited about this because, I mean, it does have basically all networks that I care about and all shows that I care about for a, I would say, reasonable price. I mean, it's $35 a month. You get 6 accounts per household, so 6 separate accounts, and you could even share that with your, I don't know, your roommates or whatever. You get a personalized DVR with, as far as I know, unlimited storage, but it actually only stores it for, I think, 9 months, and then it will delete that. But it's, I mean, it is seriously good, and I hope YouTube brings that to other countries as well, because, I mean, that is really amazing, and for that price, I think you cannot beat that. And as I said, they have most, if not all, major networks. I think the only thing that's missing is HBO for me right now.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look at that quite closely if it does come out this way, because my first thoughts when I saw it was that was a bit pricey based on something that's Netflix-esque. But you're saying there is streaming stuff then?
Yeah, it's basically the TV network. So it's not like Netflix where you have the TV shows and you can watch that and you have basically catalog. No, it's really the TV networks like ABC, Fox, NBC, BBC World. As I said, not HBO, but Showtime, CNN, all of that.
So you've got, I mean, I know you've got an American credit card, haven't you? So could you buy this and VPN it or not?
I have not tried that yet because I will be in the US in about a week. So I will try it then there. But I know that, I mean, in their FAQ, they say, you have to be, I think you have to be in the location in the US every, I think, 3 months. But other than that, you can use it outside. So you can, I don't know, you could be in, well, somewhere in the US three times, four times a year. And other than that, you're in Europe and it would still work.
So you could just get Jerome to sign in with your account once every 3 months.
That probably would work too, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, so we might all be opening accounts and getting Doc and Jerome to sign in periodically as well. They'll have a rota that they'll have to stick to.
Yes, exactly.
It's the 23rd of the month, sign in as you, and sign in as Patrice tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, there's no contract, so you can cancel at any time. So if it doesn't work, whatever, you just kill it. And there's a free trial, I think it's a month.
Excellent. Good pick, mate. Like that. My cool thing is Sam Pro Business Card Scanner for iPhone. So I've gone to a few networking events of late as a guest of some people, and I've got loads of business cards that people have thrown at me. And I'm kind of like, oh, okay, I could sit and type all these in. Got to be a business card scanner. So I've got this one. I'm having a go with it today. It says $5.99 there, but it's not $5.99. It's £17 a year. And it's bloody good. It's really good. I was quite gobsmacked because there's a few of the cards that I've got that they're quite heavily graphical for the name of the corporation that they relate to. And it does an absolutely outstanding job of scanning the text and then figuring it out as to which is which. It gets the surname and it gets the Christian name pretty easily. And then it automatically updates your contacts with it all. And then the picture of the business card then becomes the picture of the person unless you want to change it. It's really good. I've been really impressed with how accurate it's been. I've only done like a dozen cards today, but it's got some ones that I would have thought it was going to struggle heavily at, and it hasn't. It's done really, really well. Deepan says he gets QR codes printed on your cards, and I totally get that, but I think that spoils the look of a business card. I don't like that. I think your business card's got to be clean and crisp and QR code's not right. Not right at all. There you go. That's my view.
That's really interesting. I've got a lot of scanner apps, but the fact it saves them as contacts, that's a really clever thing.
Oh, it goes straight into contacts. And then all you've got to do is adjust a couple of things where it's got it wrong and bang, that's it. It's saved. And it does so well with the names. I can't get over how well it does with the names.
To scan them, is it you use your phone or?
Yeah. You put your business card that you've got down on your table, get your phone out and do it. Shoot it shoot it portrait. That's the only thing. You turn the business card portrait, and then shoot it and works it out. It's done, and it's there in your contacts list. And then you just go through the contacts and check that it's got it all right. Click save, and then it appears in your contacts. And actually, because I've had my phone online here in the office and the computer online, it's literally been, it pops up and then you can open contacts on your Mac and bang, there it is with the picture and everything. Superb.
Wow. That's come.
It's been. I'm not. It's not a thorough endorsement because I've only done a dozen cards. I might do a dozen more tomorrow and get really pissed off with it. But it's so far it's impressed me. So.
No, that's really handy because I go to a lot of these kind of conferences and events and stuff, and you take the business card and you put it away and you don't think about it, and then they phone you and think, who the hell's that? If it goes into your contacts, then you think, I know who it is.
£1.50 a month.
Yeah.
So they're getting a constant stream of revenue from them, from you, but at £17 a year, it's not the end of the world.
Hmm.
Excellent. Right. Where can we get a hold of you?
Well, hopefully still also in the future, always every week at the Mac Show here on BTN and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Will we see you at all next week?
Definitely not next week because I will be traveling somewhere and having a show from a plane simply doesn't work.
Is that on the Friday?
On a Friday, yes.
So do you fancy doing Big Show on the Thursday instead?
If I'm still here, I don't know yet. I will do that, yes.
All right, okay. No pressure. Just do what you want.
Yeah. If I can do it, I will make it.
Okie doke. Mr. Green, where would you be?
I would be taking Patrice's example. So you'll find me at the Mac Show. Tends to be on a Friday, doesn't it? About 4 o'clock GMT.
Yep.
And also my own small podcast, which is called BritishMac.com. Oh, and Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter if you want to. Which would be lovely, which is British Mark.
Excellent, mate. Any show due out soon? Or
no? Yeah, this week. I'm changing the way that British Mark works. So I've got a Patreon thing.
What, you mean you're actually going to work it?
I sort of regularly do the Patreon thing, and that's good. But at the moment, I've been doing sort of one regular British Mac, which people can get for free, and one paid British Mac. But I'm going to do two paid ones, and I want to up it to four regular British Macs as well, which will be available on iTunes. And I'm going to kick off with one every other week, and then I'm going to try up it to one every week. And I don't think there's any reason why I can't do it, but maybe. I don't know. What do you think, Ewan? Should I do shorter ones that are every week, or would you do a longer one that is once every other week? What would you do?
I would always suggest posting weekly regardless.
Okay.
Because we get
there it is.
We get stick when we don't post. I get letters.
Yeah.
And last, it's actually, this has actually caused a bit of an issue in the Slack room this week because someone came into the Slack room, signed. They'd been accepted in the Slack room a long time ago. And because the shows weren't posted, they turned up and demanded where the shows were and then buggered off again. And I was like, right, I'm not having that. The Slack room is for participation and enjoyment in the community. It's not a direct route to slag me off or get to something that you like, a bit of advice or a bit of help and support, and then bugger off again. So I'm having a purge this weekend. I expect a few people going, oi, can't get in the Slack room.
Oh, don't knock me off. I'm in your Slack room.
Well, you better start joining in then, Greeny.
Oh, I do occasionally. I probably join in yours more than I do my own.
Yeah, those people that are occasional posters aren't too bad. I don't mind that at all. But it's the ones that I've never seen. And actually, this guy that turned up, I had to double check that in my head that I'd actually remembered signing him in. I'd seen him that little. And some people, to be fair, we signed them up for default because they were regular haunts of on Twitter. So they've never taken up the invitation, so we'll have a little purge this week. Righty boy, where are you? I haven't done you, have I?
Sorry, mate. No. Well, scan this business card and you'll find me.
Okay, mate.
No, you'll find me on Twitter at Paulums, mate. Hang around the Slack room and doing the old reviews at BTN, mate.
Excellent, pal. My name is Ewan Rankin. You'll get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. I'm going to just make it before my voice gives out, my nose bungs up. But we'll see you next week. Big Show next week is on Thursday night, not Friday. So we're back to normal. Thursday for Big Show, Friday for Mac Show. And we'll try and keep it separate that way for a good while to come. Have a great weekend.